Hey all, this is Ryan, and you're listening to the Fortune Teller Podcast. Today, we have Alan Chu, co-founder and CEO of Enya, an Ethereum scaling solution. Enya recently launched an L2 optimistic rollup protocol on Ethereum mainnet called Boba. Welcome to the podcast, Alan. Let's start by having you introduce yourself and share some of the background story of how you got into crypto.
Well, thanks for having me, Ryan. Again, my name is Alan Chu, and you know what? How I got into crypto and DeFi. When DeFi started taking off last year, Enya was still helping to fight COVID. We used our core technology around cryptography and data privacy to develop a distributed crypto symptom tracker that was really widely used. 13 million users, 91 countries. But at the same time, we started seeing the potential of combining what we have learned in the cryptography space and applying that to crypto. And both my co-founder and myself have come from a distributed systems background. And so that's how we got into this space. And as we got into the chat, happy to go deeper into my background of what led me into the blockchain world as well.
Whoa, what a way to kick off the interview. So you got into the space due to the actual cryptography side and what you were working on solving problems for COVID. Could you walk us through what that was like and also how you scaled it out to 13 million users? That's incredible.
Yeah, happy to share. So at highest level, when Jan and I co-founded Enya 3 years ago, what we wanted to do was to restore the balance of power between the individual and centralized entities. And one of the sources of imbalance is who owns the data, right? And when you look at the world today, centralized entities, be they governmental entities or commercial ones, they own a lot of personal data. And that's a function of the way we have structured the information architecture over time. And these service providers, companies, they've had to accumulate a lot of data in order to provide a great level of service to individual users. So as a result, we've been willingly or unwillingly contributing a lot of data into decentralized repositories. But in the process, we've lost agency over the control of this data. Where we came from was, look, what if we could use advanced cryptography to restore that balance of power where users' data could stay on their phones, on their devices, and still selectively allow the kinds of analyses that could be performed on their data post-encryption?
That is fascinating, and it fits so well with the ethos of crypto and DeFi specifically. All of our financial information is simply ported over to these centralized entities. Whenever we want a loan, we want a mortgage, we want a credit card, we say, here's the package of all my information throughout my history of being a person, interacting with different services, and we just give it up naturally. It is such an abstraction and takeaway from our privilege of privacy. And I think specifically as Americans, it's something that many may overlook in the current setup of the institutions that be that are just holding that information. Really fascinating to hear how you got into the space with the idea of agency and how users could own that information, because that's something that the crypto market has been tapping into from a financial standpoint, but I think has yet to really break into and break grounds from the data standpoint. So from that world of cryptography, obviously that is a natural technical lead into crypto. What got you excited about using that type of data and privacy preserving data in the decentralized blockchain ecosystem?
Well, what's super exciting is the blockchain and crypto world enables a different kind of relationship between individuals and technology. We have much more agency and control over how we want to interact and what data we retain in our possession. This notion of each of us being self-sovereign is revolutionary. And it can be not just enabled by technology, but reinforced by technology. Now, during our work in scaling our edge-based data privacy solution, we came to a conclusion that it's not enough to just enable data agency and control for the individual at the edge. We also needed to make sure that this whole new decentralized infrastructure that we're building collectively can scale. and remains affordable. It's as inclusive as possible so that most people can enjoy these benefits. And when we looked at the blockchain world where Ethereum has the strongest network effect, at the same time, it has a ton of limitations that are constraining its growth. We felt that the way for us to make the most impact is to help scale Ethereum, to make it faster, make it cheaper, and help developers that build on Ethereum do more. And that's why we also introduced something we call hybrid compute that I can go into in more detail. But at a high level, it bridges the on-chain world and the off-chain world and enables developers of decentralized applications to implement really sophisticated algorithms off-chain and create a whole new generation of powerful applications that benefit end users at the end of the day.
Wow, that concept is exciting, mind-blowing. In what ways will developers be able to use this type of hybrid computing? Is it sort of like an Oracle like Chainlink, or is it a different type of system altogether?
There's some similarities in concept, but really it's a different system. The way it works is you can use off-chain algorithms to reparameterize your smart contract. And if the off-chain components that are running on AWS, for example, happen to be offline for whatever reason, you can do a graceful failover to something that is still implemented within your smart contract. And you can do things like implementing much more sophisticated DeFi algorithm that's more capital efficient. You can invoke a machine learning classifier off-chain. You can pass a pointer to an image to that classifier, which could be a medical diagnosis classifier, for example, that returns you results that you can use to reparameterize your smart contract. It could be a trained risk model that's been seasoned over decades by consumer lending data that you can now leverage in your smart contract.
Fascinating. You guys are working on a core primitive that will unlock many of the value propositions that the cryptocurrency world wants to get into and spread for adoption, but hasn't been able to reach yet because the infrastructure hasn't been there. You've talked about three different verticals, which are very interesting. One, this core scalability. Two, the off-chain computation. And then three, the data privacy. And you brought up a couple of use cases being healthcare, another being DeFi. Which of those pillars do you think is going to be most critical for the next evolution of DeFi, and then most critical for how DeFi goes mainstream?
What's critical for DeFi to go mainstream is fundamentally we have to not just lower the cost of transactions, but make them much more predictable. Imagine you going to a real life gas station to fill up your tank, and if today it costs you $50, but tomorrow it costs you $500, how many people will still be driving their cars? Right? So it's not just about affordability, but also predictability. But these questions are really part of the broader questions of what's the end-to-end user experience like? And as Jeff Bezos likes to say, customers are great because they're never satisfied. And so are users of DeFi, right? And so I think the challenge on all the DeFi developers and us ecosystem builders is to keep improving that user experience, keeping in mind what ordinary users who are still outside the blockchain world, outside the DeFi world, what they've gotten used to, the level of fit and finish and polish of the mobile apps that they're used to. We got to aspire to deliver the same level of smoothness, not just in visual design, but also in pricing, in transactions, in how quickly things get done, and the predictability of transaction costs.
I love that quote you use, that the users are never satisfied. And because of that, you always have constant feedback and constant places of improvement because they want more or they want better or they want solved. And with that, I think you brought up this concept of user experience and how this needs to be solved at the edge case of the user down to the back end system all and all throughout to really enhance the entirety of the experience with using DeFi or blockchain applications in general. So with that end-to-end type of application, what novel DeFi products or services do you think Boba could unlock for the ecosystem?
Well, what's really interesting is when we're talking to DeFi developers, they have many great ideas, but many of these ideas are too expensive to be implemented on chain today. Right. And they cost too much, or they take too long to execute, And so they end up dumbing down their ideas into something that is actually affordable, that could be executed in reasonable times. With the rollout of Boba, we are lowering transaction costs and improving throughput. And with hybrid compute, you can now do something that is much more sophisticated, that is just not practical to do within Solidity or in a smart contract in general. And so we are going to start seeing DeFi developers, you know, fulfill the potential of their dreams of what they really wanted to create in the first place. And now we will see a whole new generation of DeFi products that used to be too expensive to implement on main chain, on Ethereum. And now they're going to start popping up on Boba.
Something to add from our end too, I think risk assessment in terms of credit is going to be a massive opportunity here, where you have bureaus and markets today that are taking in so much information on the user. A smart contract could never compute that. And even an L2 wouldn't necessarily need to be the one computing it, because the data should stay private, and that happens off chain, as you've been talking about. Credit assessment is going to be a massive opportunity here as applications are being built on Boba. Another opportunity I see is insurance. Insurance has so many data points that it takes in. You're talking about healthcare. Healthcare insurance is a great overlay of DeFi reaching into another industry. That information needs to be off-chain. You have to own your data. You have to own your healthcare information. And maybe you can incentivize people to purchase the data for analytics, but you are the one selling the data. It's at the user's hands. And with that, I think there's going to be so many applications spanning far and wide, where you have off-chain information, really heavy computation sets. And I also want to say congratulations on the recent launch of the mainnet beta of Boba Network. How do you feel the growth has been? How do you see the applications being built on it? What has been new from the launch? We'd love to learn more.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And it's just been super exciting to get to this point of launching mainnet beta. We've been working with many, many developers for months to get us and get them ready for this launch. And yet, just yesterday, Dodo launched a partnership with us, and there are going to be many partners who will be announcing their partnerships with Boba over the next several weeks and months to come. So we're super excited about what we together, us and our development partners, what we'll bring together as an ecosystem of DeFi applications to serve the interests of our user communities. And I really also love the points that you raised about how a lot of data-driven models, the data should live off-chain, but how do we then start integrating these two worlds together, offering health insurance and other forms of insurance or lending products? And these are going to be the applications that open the doors of DeFi to the much broader ecosystem, much broader community of users who are still living primarily in the traditional finance world, and they haven't heard about DeFi. They don't see the relevance. But once we start seeing these mainstream applications leveraging the benefits of decentralization to serve new users, that's when we're going to start seeing the next step function growth in the size of the user community and in the level of liquidity that will be being transacted on these networks. What we've seen in DeFi so far is just day one, step number one. And when we look back 2, 3, 4 years, we'll be like, wow, we thought we had seen explosive growth. But in hindsight, it's just baby steps. There's so much more growth ahead of us, but also a lot more to build.
I love the attitude of ain't seen nothing yet. We are only at those infant days of DeFi, and I completely agree. You're talking about mainstream adoption and that J curve that will happen as DeFi engages with the traditional user base. And I'd love to harp on that concept of the kind of novel healthcare powered by DeFi. Do you feel that mainstream adoption is going to come from new protocol systems that bring users into the DeFi experience? Or do you think it's going to happen from these protocols being built into the current providers today, where they already have the users and they would be simply integrating DeFi as a backend service?
That's a very insightful question, actually, because it touches on this question around distribution, right? Ultimately, how do you get distribution? How do you reach the end users? And existing providers that have a really substantial user base certainly are sitting in a pretty powerful position because they control distribution. That said, they also don't necessarily have the strongest incentives to, you know, partner with DeFi protocols to bring newer products to market because they are already enjoying such a strong market position. So what we might see is something that's similar to what's been happening in the fintech industry, where initially the banks weren't really embracing fintech. It took a lot of fintech startups to Herculean efforts really to build their own distribution channels to figure out how they would acquire their own the users on their own, until they got to critical mass and started catching the attention of the incumbents. Now we just are starting to see a lot more banks partnering with fintech companies or even acquiring them in order to deliver these newer products and services to their existing customers. So I suspect that's what we're going to see in this space as well. Initially, it's going to be hard to get distribution. It's going to be hard to acquire your own users. The best ones will figure it out, start growing. Eventually, the incumbents will come along.
Fascinating point you brought up. And I think a good example would be Zelle. So Zelle is the ability within Bank of America, Chase, Wells Fargo to send money between each of the banks in a fashion similar to Venmo. Venmo got popularity in the millennial crowd. People like the idea that I could have some digital money on my phone and I can send it to my friends really easily. That's great. And Zelle then came around and, you know, the banks, I don't know if it was an acquisition or it was built in, but now the banks are using it. It's a Venmo-like competitor. So very interesting to hear your analogy to fintech as well. And I think we're going to continue to see this evolution. But the one difference from fintech and DeFi is the thought process needed to create DeFi protocols is so orthogonal. I don't see current developers at banks or banks themselves being deep enough to really understand the nitty-gritty of why a user should be in charge of their liquidity positions and why they should own their money, because it is a complete 180 from their current thought, which is people come to us because we give you trust. But the next model is going to be, I don't need trust because I trust myself. Maybe I can have signers and helpers, but I don't need someone else as a guardian or gatekeeper of my money. And I want to go somewhere where the APY is. So that's going to be a really interesting play as these two worlds begin to collide. And I think as we want to grow as developers, we're constantly thinking, what are the next limitations? So in your opinion, what do you think is the next big challenge regarding the scaling of DeFi applications?
So far we've talked about UX challenges, and I think another area of challenges is security. Like, we are still seeing a lot of really sizable hacks happening across the DeFi ecosystem, sometimes at the DeFi protocol level, other times at a kind of infrastructure protocol levels. It speaks to the infancy of the industry, and this is really to be expected. However, I am cautiously optimistic that we will get over this phase. And that's primarily because the ethos of DeFi and of blockchain in general is you build in the open, right? Anyone can audit your code. And when a hack happens, the postmortems happen almost immediately. And everybody else in the ecosystem learns from these incidents. I just give you a concrete example. Our smart contracts are being reviewed by audited by Certiq right now. And as soon as the Poly network hack happens, they jumped on it. They wrote a very detailed analysis and re-audited our contracts with the new learnings in mind. This all happened within days. Now, contrast that to the traditional financial world, right? If a bank gets hacked, chances are that news would not even get out, right? It will just be dealt with in private. And so that means only they themselves can learn from the incidents. But what about the rest of the industry, right? So I would expect that the pace of evolution of learning from these security incidents in the DeFi world to be much more rapid, and therefore we can get to a state of sufficient security much faster. But we have to take on these challenges head on and really take security issues seriously.
And as you're building out a layer two, what can you do to ensure that security from the data privacy side, which is what you're talking about, to prevent leaks, from the smart contract side? And for any of the builders out there that want to launch products on you and protocols, what should they do to ensure security?
Yeah, one is to touch as little data as possible. Really use only the data that you need. That's really the best way. If you never have the data in the first place, then you can never lose it, right? So from a data security perspective, that's the approach that we have taken. For example, with our other products, where like in the COVID symptom tracker, for example, we don't even collect the symptoms data themselves because all we see are encrypted versions of them. And when our users ask them to delete the symptoms data, we can genuinely tell them we don't have it. So your data is safe. When it comes to the security of assets, of funds, of course, that's top of mind for everybody. And my recommendation to developers are like really take your audit report seriously and build a long trusted relationship with your audit partners. Get that feedback early. And whenever you're making changes to your smart contracts, make sure you get them re-audited. And the industry is starting to also roll out real-time security monitoring solutions. Take advantage of them. I'm also seeing the emergence of the analogous of threat intelligence feeds that infrastructure providers can subscribe to watch out for suspicious wallets, suspicious activities. I think all of these initiatives will end up creating a much more secure ecosystem that benefits developers and end users alike. It's going to take work, but we'll get there.
User experience and security, which are the two points you harped on, are the core for us to really break into the mainstream. So developers or entrepreneurs that are listening, do take note when you're building on Boba, Layer 2s, ETH mainnets, to make sure that you're taking into account security, use all the tools available, go to the auditing firms, build relationships with them. It will be key in terms of this mainstream adoption, especially as the ecosystem grows at large. So one last question we always like to ask on the Fortune Teller podcast is, if you had a crystal ball in front of you right now, what could you most confidently predict will happen in DeFi by the end of this year?
I think by the end of this year, with the rollout of Boba and many other layer 2 solutions, we'll see a new generation of DeFi applications that are faster, cheaper, and can do more. And that will heighten competition, but also drive innovation. In the end users will benefit.
It's going to be a very exciting finale of 2021. So thank you very much, Alan, for joining. And wherever you're listening to this, be sure to check out the show notes for all the links Alan mentioned in our conversation. And please follow us on Twitter at UseTeller or join our newsletter to find out about our upcoming episodes.
Thank you. It was fun.